remember these?
If you were here, you will remember. Good morning from me, and good morning to those online. I always forget you, but not really. I'm sorry. Forgive me for not remembering. Can you remember when these first came out this year to be bought in the supermarkets? Can you remember the exact date? What are they? Yeah, when did they come out? The 27th of December. So the supermarkets want to make a profit out of Easter, and they are there reminding us that it's all about hot cross buns. I don't despise hot cross buns, but when you eat them this Christmas, tell the story. Easter. Their message didn't get through to me, did it? Easter. When you're eating them this Easter, see if you can find out why on earth hot cross buns appear in Easter. So the profit-making supermarkets had them going from the 27th of December. But I want you to know that our Easter actually was in God's mind before creation. Long time before. Look at these verses here from the New Testament. He, Jesus, was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed or shown at the end of the ages for our sake and the sake of those that have gone before and after, and for the sake of those meeting in Hope Discovery Kids and for those yet to come. It doesn't actually say that in the scripture. That was my add-on, okay? That's from Peter. And the Message translation, this was no afterthought, even though it is only lately, at the end of the ages, before became public knowledge. God always knew that he was going to do this for us. So Easter was not a surprise to God, but it wasn't for profit. It wasn't for indulging in chocolate. I never understand why a chocolate Easter bunny lays eggs. Just throwing that one in as well. Welcome to this new series, which will end on Easter Sunday. For those who were here in October, I introduced you to two hoops, not for exercises, but to give us a visual picture of heaven come down to earth, okay? And that first happened in the Garden of Eden, where heaven and earth was so concrete, so much part of the story, that Adam and Eve walked and talked and met with God. Beautiful story. Commissioned to fill the earth, commissioned to partner with God and care for it. For those who know the Bible story, we also know that this happened when our forefathers, Adam and Eve, were expelled from the garden, where they could intimately know the presence of God and worship him as the image bearers. It wasn't long after that, I don't know how long actually, but it wasn't until we meet Abraham, where God came down again and met Abraham and made promises that through his family, redemption would come. And I'm talking about Jesus. But they didn't have a clue. Scripture also says that they longed to know what they were talking about, but they didn't know. And Abraham, it says in Hebrews 11, died, believing the promise, but not knowing. Again, the people scattered. And we are going to pick up the story later for the Exodus. But just to give you an overview of where this month will go, at the Exodus, God came down again to redeem and deliver and rescue his people from slavery so that they again would be able to be humans, a people of God who knew their God, the power and wonder, the beauty of relationship with God, the good God. But we know from history, whether we know the Bible or not, that they blew it too. Many times God met them when they cried out, but they forgot. And so it was much, much later that the children of God, the children of Israel, God's own people, were in exile. And we're going to start there for our story. But you need to know our story today is the beginning of the Easter story, not the end. Because in Jesus, we read at his baptism that God opened the heavens and came down again. And Jesus came and walked among us, and through his Spirit, we can have that presence, God within us today. The hoops are going. So that's just the introduction to where we're going, but we as people of God still look forward to the amalgamation again of heaven and earth in the garden city at the end of the ages. So I'm going to take you back to what I call the exile, where the children of Israel had actually lost access, not to the garden this time, but to the land that God promised them. And they lived as exiles there. That's the word. They lived as foreigners in other countries. And this was what they prayed. And this prayer is written from Isaiah 64. And we'll read it. It's on the screen. It is the word of God. And we will read their prayer. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known among the adversaries, so that nations may tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. So this is the name of our series. God came down. Heaven came down. And from this lament, from this cry, from the deep memories and stories of their history, they cried out that God would do it again. And if you happen, perchance, at any time, read any of the prophets, they make these startling claims that God will do a new work in answer to these prayers. And it's like God is going to do a second Exodus. And we pick up that theme much later from Luke 9. When Jesus, with his disciples, is on the Mount of Transfiguration and Moses and Elijah are there and three starstruck disciples who haven't got a clue about what's going on, look on and see and hear. But they are told that Jesus is making preparation to depart from this world. That word depart is Exodus, the Exodus of Jesus, our Exodus, where we too find that deliverance. So that's jumping ahead. Going back to this person, when we look forward, we cry out to look at those awesome deeds that we did not expect that God did. One of the songs we sang talked about that. You came down, and we're going to go there today to look at the Exodus to find out exactly what it is. And I want to say this, as we, as Jesus followers, children of God today, look back at Easter as our redemption story so that we live it out today, so the children of Israel look back to the Exodus as their great redemption story. And every year they had to retell that story in the present tense as if they were there. They had to actually act it out so that they could remember who they were. So let's find out. Long time. There is a little video clip that I picked up from the Bible Project. If we could have that, that would be good. It would be good. All good things come to those who wait. We're picking up the story so that we look at the awesome deeds that they did not expect, the wonders of our God. Are we going to get it? We're not going to get it. Okay, let me tell you the story. The Bible Project does it in 6 minutes. See if I can do it in that time. Okay. The children of Israel, at the end of the Genesis story, Joseph was there, and he looked back at all the stuff that had happened, and he said to his brothers, "What has happened to me in Egypt? And the reason we are here is that God intended it for good, to save many people." And so we go into the story of Exodus, Exodus chapter 1, and we have the children of Israel 40 years later fulfilling the promise of Abraham that he would multiply them and that they would grow into a nation, a people. And they flourished. They had plenty until a Pharaoh came who did not know Joseph. And things became hard. And they were a threat. An immigrant people, a refugee people, a people not like the Egyptians. They were a threat, like many refugees today. Don't get sidetracked, Sandy. Got to do it quickly. They were a threat. And so here, Pharaoh decides that he will kill their babies. Now, if you look back on the story, what was the main thing Abraham had to overcome to get the promise of God? He needed a child. What did Isaac need to overcome? He needed the miracle of a child. And here's Pharaoh trying to destroy the very sense of the children of God thriving so that they would be destroyed. And we know, if you know the story, there's lots of pictures, there's lots of artwork about Moses becomes the deliverer. And Moses meets God, heaven comes down, and Moses is commissioned. God introduces himself to Moses, and Moses is commissioned to go to Pharaoh, that wicked, evil king who's hardened his heart, who believes that he is the greatest, the most powerful in the whole world, and he can inflict and name death whenever he likes. And Moses is called to go and say, "Let my people go." The first five plagues, Pharaoh says, "No way." He hardened his heart. No way. And then, after those first five plagues, God acknowledges the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. So it says, God hardened his heart. And we have another five plagues. The purpose of the plagues is to show Pharaoh that God is all-powerful, the creator, and this creator temporarily disorders and brings chaos into the created world to show that he is God. And that's the purpose, that they may know that I alone am God and that nations will tremble and look at the wonderful things that God has done. And they come to that last plague, that last night, and the Israelites have to participate in this story. They have to take a lamb and kill it and put blood over their doorposts. And that night, the angel of death comes. Now, here's the thing. Any Egyptian who believed this could also do it. And any Israelite who didn't believe it and didn't do it, they were subject to. So it wasn't just exclusive. It was including those who believed that God was going to do something. And from that time, God came over and killed the firstborn. More on that later in the year when we study the book of Exodus. But Pharaoh's son died too. And here he is with a dead son confronted by the power of God. And he says, get going, go. And the people of Egypt give them all they need, possessions, gold, silver, and they go. And they meet that Red Sea. And they cry out to God, God, come down and deliver us. And our God paves a way through. And they walk through. But meanwhile, Pharaoh has a change of heart. And he has sent his armies. And the water comes and swallows up the army. And the people are delivered from the slavery. That, my friends, is the Bible Project. Sorry about that. It does do it better. Exodus. That's called the Exodus, the event, the Exodus, coming out of slavery into a new word, new way of living. Exodus. Two Greek words. Ex, out of. Odos, way. The way out. Throughout the world, in some cities, the coming out of many people has been celebrated in ways that we would not necessarily engage in. Some might, some don't. But this is what I want to say about them. They come out to declare to the world that they are going to live differently. You got that? Now that takes courage. God brings us out of slavery, delivers us from evil so that we can declare to the world that we are going to live differently in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the God who lives with us. You prepared for that kind of coming out? That's what Jesus has done for us. He provided a way out. So from slavery, the story continues. They wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. They entered the land and dwelt among the peoples, and they forgot God. They cried out to God. God delivered them. They forgot God. God sent deliverers, powerful deliverers. They were never satisfied. They wanted to be like others. They wanted to be like others, and they forgot God. They wanted a king. Great. They forgot God. The king was to rule with God's authority and power, and to bring them under and win in partnership with God, living out those 10 commandments given to them. And they worshipped other gods and forgot God. They became as bad as or worse than other nations. This is the story of the children of God. They are living in exile, and they lamented, they cried out, oh, that God would come down among us. I did say that every year, Passover, which goes for 7 days if you're in Jerusalem, or 8 days if you're out of the country, celebrated 8 days. They were to enter the story. They were to dramatize the story. One of the very first things that a Jewish household does if they are following the Jewish ways is to spring clean the house and get rid of every bit of leaven, every bit of yeast, and they are to live for those days on flatbread, unleavened bread, 7 days, and then they celebrate the meal. It is to remind them that this God redeemed them, delivered them. They told the story. They answer questions. The children, there's all part and parcel of what is happening. They are to worship, put God first as the delivered people. They are to glorify God, if you like, to wear the name of Jesus. They're branded by God not to make his name blasphemous among the nations, so that the name of Jesus would be worshipped. We too are invited to that. We are to enter the God story, to live that good life with a good God, doing good deeds, going around. The abundant, flourishing life, right with God, peace and joy. And in this good life, forgiveness is the language of the people. Forgive me as I forgive others. We are there to make others aware of what God has done for us, not just through word and song, but through how we live. Okay? We have come out to declare that we are going to live spirit-filled lives. We're going to live as Jesus followers. We are going to live in ways so that others will see that this is our God. You with it? Yeah. You want to live like that? This is what our people need, that there is a God beyond, a God greater than, who has given himself to us via the Easter story and through the Spirit. So this year, tell the Easter story in the present tense as if you are there. Who can you identify in the Easter story? The disciples who didn't get it? The religious leaders who saw Jesus as a threat? The fickle crowd? The soldiers? Mary, his mother? His brothers, his sisters? Enter the story and see where your heart is. As the Exodus was to the people of God in the Old Testament, God coming down, history meeting together so that we could live under God's authority, so Easter is to us. We remember, we retell every year. So when you eat those hot cross buns, tell the story. You got it? Tell the story. However, we do live 2,000 years after the event. We live in exile too. The true coming, we still wait. We live like this. Heaven has come among us. God is within. We long for that day when the garden city, a new creation, where heaven is part of our life experience. No more sin, no more evil. Where we will love deeply each other, where there is the sense of true worship. We still wait with that. So we lament today because we're angry people, angry at injustice and evil, and that is okay. Angry at war and oppression, and that is okay. Angry at what is happening in the name of Jesus that people use and blaspheme and say, God told me to do this. We are angry people about that, and we lament and we're grieved and sad. God is grieved and sad about that too. Yet we live with joy. Joy unlimited. Because heaven has come down and entered our lives. Jesus is within. And the Spirit is leading and guiding and helping and embracing. Our Father reminding us that we're in this together as beloved children. And so we do wait for the fullness of salvation. We wait in anticipation with joy. And meanwhile, we declare to live the Spirit-led life so that others may know that we are Jesus' followers. Let me pray. Oh, there's a slide, sorry, on the screen. Let's read this slide together. Slide. This is the human journey. The exodus from slavery to our freedom. With Jesus as our new Moses, Jesus' offer was and still is to rescue and deliver us from the prison of sin and self, to lead us to a new life and land a new life. Great quote, eh? If you want to, you can photocopy that. Take a photo of it. This is our hope. Let me pray. Thank you that you are a redeeming God, one who delivers us, one who empowers us, one who is for us and lives within us, walks alongside us, and invites us to live the Jesus way in the power of the Spirit. Thank you for the totally good life available for us, right relationships with one another. And Lord, I pray that we may together be people who flourish in Jesus as Jesus followers. And for those among us, Lord, who for this is just something yet outside their experience, we pray that God may come down today and meet each one. Those who are longing for you in any way, meet us in your name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.